In addition to these contemporary texts, we have copies of other texts that claim to have been written in the early dynastic period. These describe the heroic deeds of kings, such as Gilgamesh. Remember that the first written evidence for the Epic of Gilgamesh did not come until the 19th century BC, although it purported to be a much older story. Many of these early stories include names that we know from other evidence, so we start to see an increasing correlation between myth, legend, and history, especially as it revolves around rulers. These later texts are not contemporary to the events that they describe, nor were they intended to be historical in our sense of history, but they do provide evidence that we can evaluate as long as we do it carefully to reconstruct the history of the period. One of the most important pieces of written evidence that fits into this category is the Sumerian king list. I mentioned this briefly when we discussed Gilgamesh. The Sumerian king list dates to about 1800 BC and is a list of the names and regnal years of rulers. The list begins with the mythical lowering of kingship from the heavens, and this occurred first at the city of Kish. Kingship revolves from city to city, according to the king list, in a rotation throughout southern Mesopotamia. Kings were chosen and approved by the god Enlil, and they were approved publicly at Enlil's temple in Nippur, as we've discussed. The main goal of the Sumerian king list is to show only one ruler at a time and to write a history of the peaceful, uninterrupted transfer of power between rulers and between cities. The rationale behind this is that it reinforces the office of kingship, that it is a divinely approved position and a legitimate one. And this also reinforces the closeness of the king to the gods. Having a king, according to this logic set out in the king list, is a benefit because there's only one at a time. The gods have chosen him. If your city missed out this time, the opportunity will come around for kingship to be centered in your city. In order to fulfill this goal, the Sumerian king list has to basically rewrite a lot of history that we can fill in from other evidence from our vantage point. Especially at the beginning of the king list, there are inconceivably long reigns assigned to rulers. For example, there are 8 rulers who governed for 241,000 years. Having such an enormously long lifespan would allow the king list to fill in the gaps in their early records, because they didn't have the names for the early kings. The Sumerian king list, in order to fulfill its goal to show only one ruler at a time, excludes rulers who are known from other evidence. This is clearly not designed to be a historical document in the way that we would look for a list of presidents or kings with specific regnal dates or eras in office. Sometimes the Sumerian king list can include information about the kings, such as the territories that they conquered, that we also might learn about from another source. This is important evidence that survives in the Sumerian king list, and therefore it's a resource that historians have to use, although with the understanding that its purpose is to fulfill an ideological function rather than to record historical truths. Another type of evidence that comes from later texts and purports to record early dynastic history are the stories and adventures of the heroes like Gilgamesh, who were believed to be the early rulers of Mesopotamia. Other early kings of the city of Uruk, of which Gilgamesh was one, Enmerkar and Lugalbanda, were also listed in the Sumerian king list.